Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Tuesday, February 16th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Well, it's great to be back. Hope everybody enjoyed their Valentine's Day and their President's Day. If you had the day off, as we did here at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Gold markets did trade in the New York time for a shorter period, but so it came down. The futures today, though, showed gold down, being, you know, down the 20-some dollars, but because of the New York traded yesterday, we will go off of those numbers. So we're looking at 1203, and I don't know if I can, you know, if folks can bear with me here in just a minute, I can go back to see what the futures show. Gold being down a little over 3%. Those are the futures contracts, which didn't trade yesterday. So they're catching up with the New York spot. So just so you guys aren't confused out there. So we're looking at 1202 down 740, 1202. Down 740. Silver, you're going to have the same thing. 1533 down 10. Platinum is down 6 at 935. Palladium down 4 at $511. Now, I had actually spoken to mention to Al one day that I was actually going to start using the futures contract prices, but, you know, that confuses a lot of the listeners and so forth. So we'll just stay status quo. USDX today is up 0.18 at 96.91. Crude oil down 0.33 at 29.11. And the paper markets had a big day, another big day. Oh, let's get to that screen. The Dow was up almost 200 points, 193. 16,167. Oh, they just changed it. Nothing like changing the numbers 5 minutes after the market closes. Well, let's get a better number. Let's get over 200 points. And sounds much better than 190. Anyway, the Dow is up 222 points, 16,196. The NASDAQ is up 98 at 44.35. S&P up 30 at 1895. You see, those computers can do anything they want them to do. They can change those digits any way they want. 10-year yield, 1.79, up a little bit. Euro down a little bit, 111. European markets, they didn't do much. Hong Kong was up over 1%. I believe yesterday they had bigger days. Germany and London were basically unchanged. So that sort of wraps it up in the markets. The one thing I wanted to talk about, Al, is, they have all these trade agreements. They have all the, trying to get the TPP and so forth. Well, you know what? This administration approved the first U.S. factory to be built and operated, guess where?
Detroit.
No. Cuba.
Cuba.
Cuba. Seber, an Alabama-based company that builds tractors for small farms, was notified by the Treasury Department that it could open a facility in Cuba. They started the lengthy process of finalizing the agreement. They hope to start production by early 2017. He's going to be looking to be the first ones into Cuba for manufacturing, but they are pretty sure they won't be the last, the first and the last. So these were all done by these changes with business operating in Cuba that is made possible by the Obama administration. And I just thought that was sort of interesting.
You know what the question is?
What is that, Al?
Where do they intend to sell their tractors? Are they building a plant in Cuba where they're going to sell tractors in Cuba? Are they building a plant in Cuba where they're going to be able to take advantage of cheap labor and sell the same tractors back into the United States? Because if they are, it's going to diminish employment in the United States.
Exactly. What they're talking about is supplying these factories to these tractors to Cuba. However, come on, Al. Do you really believe they wouldn't take advantage of the lower labor costs? Mm-hmm. Certainly they're going to do that. This is just, they were able to, open the door. They were able to go there. And so they're also trying, the Treasury Department has also been working around the edges to allow more U.S. exports in cooperation with Cuba. One change allowed the U.S. companies to sell products and services directly to Cuba. But if they can build factories there, and Caterpillar, they are signing a deal to distribute a tractor. It's called the Ogon. American workers initially will build the pieces in Paint Rock, Alabama. Then they will assemble them. I take it back. This isn't Caterpillar. This goes back to the company that we were talking about. My apologies. I got sidetracked there. But they're going to build the small red tractor. Now, this is it. American workers initially will build the pieces in Paint Rock, Alabama, and they will assemble them in a facility in Cuba, a special economic zone about 30 miles west of Havana. The goal is to have American workers train Cubans to do the work and manage the operations in Cuba. Now, isn't this just something? So the American worker gets to train the Cuban worker so they lose their jobs. Mm-hmm. Cuba doesn't want to just import. Cuba wants to do production. And they want the technology in Cuba. So this is one way in which they can get it there.
Earn while you learn.
Absolutely. So again, there's more factories going to Cuba, and maybe not at first, but everybody's going to want to go in there, and everybody's wants to take advantage of the lower wages. And it's a little closer to home than China. So another one thing I wanted to talk about, older Americans were burdened with unprecedented debt loads. As more and more baby boomers enter what are meant to be their retirement years, the average 65-year-old borrower has 47% more mortgage debt and 29% more auto debt than 65-year-olds had in 2003. And after adjusting for inflation, and this is from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York that was released on Friday, just over a decade, student debt was unheard of among 65-year-olds. And today is a growing debt category. If they vote for Bernie, they might get it for free. But the importance of this is the U.S. household debt is changing. And you have older people that are taking retirees, older borrowers are taking on more and more debt, even though they might have a little bit better retirement and so forth. But once they get on that Social Security and so forth, they'll find it very difficult to manage. What I found interesting about this is they talk about how great, you know, the distribution, how it's changing from the various households where it used to be the younger and so forth. Now it's the older that are taking on more and more debt. And they talk about the retirement accounts. And it sort of just led me up to this where I was thinking, you know, they're planning on those retirement accounts not being there for older people. Now, this report started in 2010. This was following the credit data, changing the debt behaviors of U.S. households. It only started after 2010, and, you know, they don't do things if they're just they know well that they very well know that they are going to people are going to be losing many of their dollars in their retirement accounts and their pension plans.
So they knew it when they started the study in 2010.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think the interesting thing about it is that the older people are going deeper into debt, according to this report, which means they be dumb.
Mm-hmm.
But the younger people are not, which implies that they are either too broke to go into debt or they're too smart to go into debt. Maybe we're seeing a generation coming up who has brains enough not to go any deeper into debt. Maybe they're just too broke, and the bank said, I'm not going to lend you any money. You don't even have a job. It's hard to know what the reason is, but there's a possibility that young people are waking up to the idea that debt is not a good thing.
Well, they're certainly being saddled with their college debt. But here's another. They don't need to go in debt. They have their parents supplying all their needs. I mean, they're not out there buying houses. They're not out there renting apartments. They're not out there buying appliances for their apartments. They're not, you know, they're driving mom and dad's cars. You know, so
well, that's evidence
degree,
that they don't have a job.
Yeah, absolutely. So
that's evidence they're unemployed.
And or they are employed.
They might not be all that bright, but they can't go into debt because they don't have a job.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's not a good sign when you don't have the younger people going out, and I'm not saying they should go into debt, but they're not doing the thing that they should.
Just as big a bunch of fools as their grandparents. What's wrong with you kids? How come you don't emulate your grandparents? They're going to go broke. You have something against going broke? It's antisocial not to go out there and borrow more money and go deeper into debt so you can stimulate the economy for Obama and the rest of the people in government. Get out there and buy something. Borrow something. Buy something. That's how we'll stimulate the economy, Melody.
What's next, Al?
I don't know, because you know that Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, who's 79 years old, he died on Saturday. There's some unusual circumstances surrounding his death, but I don't think anything peculiar is going on here. I think 79 years old, I think this was just, you know, time catches up with all of us. He was out near Marfa, Texas. The people went to his room 3 hours after he did not show up for breakfast at 8:30. John Poindexter, who owned this Cibolo Creek Ranch, 30,000 acres. He said, we discovered the judge in bed, a pillow over his head. His bedclothes were unwrinkled. We have seen conspiracy stories already busting out on this, and there'll be more of them, that foul play may have been involved. And one of the reasons they say that is because a pillow was over his head. Well, some people sleep with a pillow over their head to keep the light out, maybe reduce the sound. And it doesn't, I don't. It doesn't make real good sense to me. I don't understand how you breathe with a pillow over your head. But on the other hand, if nobody's pushing down on it, it's okay. There are some people who are suspecting that the reason the pillow was over his head was foul play. Someone came in and snuffed his lights out. They smothered him with a pillow. That's the implication in some people's minds. I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, if I were an assassin and I wanted to kill Judge Scalia, do I want to show that I've killed him? If I do, why not put a bullet in his head? If I want to conceal the fact that he's been murdered and I'm going to use a pillow to smother the man, why would I leave the pillow on his face? If I brought the pillow with me while I was walking down the hall to get into his room, wouldn't I take the pillow back out with me? If I used one of the pillows that was on his bed after I'd smothered Mr. Scalia, wouldn't I put the pillow back, take it off his face so people didn't see evidence that he had been smothered, and put it on the bed next to him, wherever it was that I picked it up from? It doesn't make sense to me that anyone is going to smother the judge by using a pillow and then leaving the pillow there as some sort of a sign that the judge was actually murdered. I think the pillow thing is not evidence of some great conspiracy. What else do they say? Here's where it gets strange. Presidio County Judge Cinderella Guevara told ABC News that Scalia's death certificate will say the cause of death was natural and that he died of a heart attack. Guevara also said that no autopsy was necessary. How did she know he died of a heart attack? I mean, the fact remains, the man, in theory, you know, if you like conspiracy theories, he could have been poisoned. You know, although it's improbable, I don't see that pillow as evidence of foul play. Who knows? Maybe some crazy person did smother him. Maybe you could tell that by the autopsy. The idea that you don't, and it's legal in Texas, apparently. I live in Texas, but I hadn't heard that before. Texas law allows a coroner to declare someone dead without even examining the body. Just take a report from the police or whoever, and they say, well, he looks dead to me. You know, that's a scary idea, Melody. You could be sleeping. Next thing you know, you're declared dead by someone.
This guy just wasn't Joe Smith from, you know. I mean, usually the circumstances over, someone like Scalia, I mean, you would think that they would take a little more interest in the way it was being reported and so forth. So the way it's being handled and so forth, it does leave the door open for any type of conspiracy theory to come through.
Oh, there'll be lots of them. You'll be hearing about John Kennedy, Marilyn Monroe, and Judge Scalia for years into the future. Right?
Did you hear the one about the ice bullet?
The ice bullet? No.
There was a mark above his heart with an ice bullet.
Mm-hmm. No, I haven't heard that. How do they know?
That's, you know. Hey, I didn't say I believed it. I'm just saying.
No, there'll be no end to them. There are going to be a bunch of conspiracy theories. I don't know what the truth of the matter is. Odds are he's 79 years old. He was reportedly having health problems.
But you know what? When you look, I mean, he's a good friend to Cheney's. You know, he runs with that crowd. Poindexter, he's no angel. And so, you know, when you look at all these things and you put things all together, there was no security, blah, blah, blah. It really does leave the door open.
I know.
And particularly in the world that we live in today.
I understand.
With all the issues that are facing the judges, particularly with gun control and everything else that's coming down the pike, particularly with this administration. I mean, did the administration just luck out? Oh, hey, man, we lucked out. You know, he was old and he died. now we can see what we can do. But, you know, so it really, you know, I haven't come to any conclusion, but certainly there's a lot of questions. And they're going to cremate them, I think.
I've heard they already did, but I think that's a rumor. I don't know if it's true or false. But this whole thing is trying to get a straight answer out of Marfa, Texas. I mean, that place is West Texas. It is a fairly relaxed, and people die, no big deal. We're going to take a break for some commercial announcements. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adask here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. For all your gold and silver coin needs, we've got a caller from West Virginia. Does anyone live in West Virginia?
Huh?
We're just wondering if anyone lives in West Virginia whose name isn't Jim.
The weather we've had, we just survive in West Virginia.
How you doing, Jim?
Say again?
How you doing?
I'm doing. I'll say that much. You started out and mentioned Cuba, start firing up a factory in Cuba. Good luck. Up until about 10 years ago, I kept my finger on the pulse of industrial instrumentation. That was my job. It involves sensory and control and things in the middle, like including computers, computer control, this, that, and the other, milling machines, robotics. It's a pretty interesting world, radio. It's a very interesting world. Anyway, some instrument guys do what's called job shopping. they'll go out to a lot of times in stateside or oftentimes to another country because of deindustrialization for a plant startup and construction startup. They'll go out for 6 months and make about $150,000 sometimes, $100,000 in 6 months, come home, goof off. The one fellow I know went to Mexico in the middle 80s, and he said, oh, it's awful down there. There are people living in cardboard boxes, using the bathroom and hand-dug latrines, and if you have to have a V-belt or a bearing, you have to go stateside. It's awful. Well, at any rate, he left, and he went back there about 1997 or 98. He said, wow, you wouldn't believe it down there. They have streets, they have houses, they have factories, they've got all this stuff, and they have supply houses. You know, he said, it's amazing what's happened the last 15 years. Now, I've known people who, for instance, have gone to work in places like China for 6 months stretch, Singapore, Middle East, I can't remember where else, but like there'd be one fellow, for instance, who would go to the Middle East working for A.C. Brown Bavaria, ABB, for instance, so. And a lot of times, like, he's Americans because English is used. At any rate, that's the story of Mexico. Now, to counter that, now, I'm not 100% sure what I'm going to tell you here. This is something I heard through the grapevine, never bothered to track it down. There's a fellow who inherited several million dollars. And in West Virginia, he wanted to set up a dry kiln, K-I-L-N, and planing operation for wood, for West Virginia wood. And he got to digging in his, oh, my God, I got this stuff with EPA and environmental impact statements and pollution control plans. And he finally said, to heck with that junk. You didn't have that in Mexico. Like the guy who went to Mexico and these other places, they, hey, you want to build something? You just build it. And you wouldn't have people living in cardboard boxes pooping in latrines in America. But for whatever reason.
Just keeps up.
Huh?
But you will, if the government continues to regulate businesses.
Oh, we're there already. We have something like 1,000 homeless in Charleston, West Virginia, from what I've been told. But this fellow who was going to set up a dry kiln, he got to talk with a few people and says, well, there's a bakeries have had to shut down because the smell of bread, even though no particulates came out because they used things called precipitators. I've worked on way too many of them. To get all particulates, electrostatic precipitators, and furniture factories shut down because of the smell of wood from a, you know, sawing. So he said, "To heck with that junk." Now, have you ever heard another thing too? Americans, if the American businesses hire illegal aliens for two reasons: low wages is part of it. The other part is they don't have to fill out all the paperwork. They don't have to do all the withholding, the FICA, the income taxes, all that paperwork. So they just hire them and pay cash. This is part of the reason why we have a war on cash. Now, if I said FTZ, would you know what that is?
No.
Okay, it's something which has been around for about, now I'm guessing, 25 or 30 years. It's called a free trade zone.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There are two of them in West Virginia. One of them has a Toyota factory. And, okay, it is booming. Now, inside of that area in Putnam County, West Virginia, near Buffalo, if I remember correctly, or Eleanor, can't remember for sure, there's this area. Once you're inside the fences, you're not having to deal with the EPA and all these other jerks. If you
so
want
what
to build
we're doing
up.
Is we're inviting foreign industry to move into this country and be exempt from government regulation while the people who live in this country can't escape it.
Exactly. So you create a free trade zone, and it's like a micro, it's like a study in microeconomics. You take off all the regulators, and trade thrives. Yeah, Buffalo, West Virginia, I think, is where the Toyota factory is. And they make some of those critical parts, the transmissions for machining. But the bottom line is this, is like sometime back, y'all mentioned what can we do to get things going removing rules, regulations, this, that, and the other. I guarantee that unless you have a business and you've had to deal with some of this trash, now I had a one-man repair shop. It took about one day a week for me to take care of all the paperwork, which is required for everything, for my one little one-man operation. The only thing I can tell you is this. If they're setting up a factory in Cuba, it'll be difficult because they don't have something like a Granger's right around the corner from them. They might very soon. But this fellow who went to Mexico twice, he went down there, he said, oh, it is awful. It's a hassle. And 15 years later, wow. Now, that's what it basically means. Now, we got to understand that it's the so-and-sos who set up all these rules and regulations over everything and nothing. Destroy wealth.
Yeah,
every time you take a factory and destroy it, you do great damage to the suppliers, everybody involved. I had another real good shake-up here in the late 80s, I believe. A particular plant went down. I knew the comptroller. And I said, how much money is being lost by, well, actually three groups, the employees, the company, and the government, Satan, local governments. And he gave me a piece of paper with three numbers on it, but wouldn't say which was which, but he explained it verbally. He was quite nervous about me asking that question, too. But what it boiled down to is our wonderful state of West Virginia. This is the only state where we've lost population since I was born, okay? They ran this business out. Well, they kept part of it, kept the steam plant, but they ran it out, and they killed the goose that laid the golden egg.
Yeah.
But I saw how much was lost. And this fellow said, now that, for what the state takes, that includes the horrific rates of taxation on the power, because they use gobs of power. But it does not include all the income taxes for all the employees. He said, you had the income taxes for the employees, and I had a rough number for that, a rough number for how much they made. He said, it's very obvious to me that the government doesn't give a D about the money that they destroyed when they destroyed this business. They just want to destroy businesses.
Yep.
He and I were on the same page about all this stuff. But that's the real economic situation. Now, you guys...
It's not just the real economic situation. It's the real political situation that the government of the United States has become an enemy of the people of the United States of America. This nation is going down the pipe, not by accident, not by mismanagement. It's going down the pipe by intent. It's going down the pipe by treason, and there is no one in either the Republican Party or the Democrat Party who is interested in stopping the process. At least they're not having any significant effect if they are interested. It's just taken for granted. It's business as usual. We're destroying the country. Why? Because most of them, one way or another, seem to think the New World Order and the North American Union are a great idea. So we've got to take this country down so it can be brought into this global government and North American Union and so on. But we have enemies. We don't have representatives in Congress. We have enemies, and there's the problem. And nobody's doing anything about it. You can point to congressmen and senators and say, well, he's a good guy. Yeah, well, why doesn't he blow the whistle on the rest of the gangsters, crooks, and treasonous whores that are occupying the White House, the Congress, the Senate? How come he's not talking about them? How come he doesn't identify them? I know they're there.
Well, it's very simple. The Republicans won't do anything because they lust for power after the Democrats are out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to mention two things here. The first one, I want people to chisel into stone. The New World Order will do anything to make life as complicated, difficult, expensive, and dangerous as they dare. Only when we push back do they stop. As complicated, difficult, expensive and dangerous as they dare. Number two, a government designed is supposed to protect the rights, the lives, the property, the children of its people. We have a government obsessed with taking the rights,
yep,
the lives, the property, and the children of its people. And that's what it boils down to. The only choice we have is local, 10th Amendment pushback, jury nullification. County sheriffs here begin to stand up and say, no, we're not going to pay attention to this bull. Awareness of the fact that the EPA is a private corporation, a racketeering corporation, it's all government by fraud. But if you look at the real simple economics of opening up a business in Cuba, despite the fact that I'm sure there's people know, oh my God, this is going to be a terrible job because we need anything, we have to fly it in from the States. I know a fellow also, it's been a number of years since, so I was never met him in person, but he was along the Gulf Coast and he flew back and forth to some of the islands down there, and he had a business down there of office machinery, and he had a little aircraft and he would fly up air taxi, air ambulance back and forth, and he would tell me what life was like in those places. Some of the roads were terrible, atrocious, but despite all the problems Cuba has, that little tractor company says, we are better off going down there because if we want to put something onto the plant, we just build onto the plant. We don't have to apply for this, that, and the other, these, them, and those. Another one for you. Long time ago, 40 years ago, somebody was going to come up with a deal for using wood chips for burning, for making electricity, did all the permits, this, that, and the other, fired it up, and the OSHA said, powdered sawdust, that's an explosive. You can't. They lost several million dollars because it was a cogeneration thing, and they did not want people to know because they didn't want it to hit their stock price, and they just kept it quiet. But, yeah, you can do all the permits, all the applications, and when the regulators walk in there and shut you down anyway, laughing up their sleeves, mission accomplished from their point of view. But just because you get an agreement from the government, this is the way it's going to be, that ain't true. I'm going to take it one step further, and I'll shut up. Look at www.iccsafe.org. I-C-C-S-A-F-E.org. Stands for International Code Council. You'll find codes there for everything from steam piping to, you name it, all kinds of codes. And every one of those codes, a code is, by definition, evidence of law. It is not law. The code official is the sole interpreter. In other words, you can sit there, and one situation I knew of in Philadelphia, they had a floor drain for some part of the airport up there. It had a 2-inch drain on it. The code official came through and says, that needs to be 2.5 inches. There was no written specification for it. They delayed that project again and again with trash like this. You need a 3-inch drain, so you've got to cut up all the concrete and put in a 3-inch drain to satisfy me, the code official, the king. Matter of fact, you can go to their websites for code officials for International Code Council. And if you want to look at the second or third worst scam in U.S. history on paper, just read the International Property Maintenance Code. It's been on the book for 15 years. I can tell you some horror stories because I broke it to the Patriot community about 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. I've been a magnet for it. But yeah, I got one phone call, and there aren't.
Now we're going to have to let it go at that, Jim. We're out of time. We've got to take some commercials, and we'll have to do more of your stories another time. This is Jim from West Virginia. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's Emotional Stress Formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
We have a caller, Jerry from Indiana. Good afternoon, Jerry.
Good afternoon, Melody. How are you?
Just great.
Hate to be the bearer of bad tidings, but during the debate, Donald Trump was the only guy up there on the stage that mentioned Carrier air conditioning taking the 1,400 jobs out of Indianapolis. They just found out last night on the news that they received anywhere from $5 to $6 million in tax abatements from the Obama administration to stay here in Indiana. Now, we don't know if the politricksters here are going to go after them or not, but I can only report what's going on here. And another one is H-Tech out of Fort Wayne, Indiana. They do essentially the same thing that Carrier is doing in Indianapolis. They're going to Mexico, too. And Jim got my juices flowing, so I had to call in.
And, why do you think they're moving? Who do you place the blame on? Do you blame the corporation? Do you blame the government? Do you blame who do you think is responsible for those corporations moving?
Well, number one, Al, I believe that the two-party system has been broken for a long time. Republicans and Democrats, they talk good until they get in office. And the corporate, you know, I don't know. Al, it's funny. We've got a governor here that has – I've come up with this saying from Governor Mike Pence here in Indiana that there's a lot of history here in Indiana. As an American worker, maybe you could make what your grandpa did. And Indiana never was like this. We were full of automotive plants. That trickled down. You had good jobs. You had – Fort Wayne, for example, was the home of Magnavox. Indianapolis had RCA with Allison's gas turbine, Allison's transmission, GM truck and bus on the south side. I mean, I can go on and on because this is what I do, being listening to alternative media for 40 years. I'm all about economics, but this is economic treason, and these people are creating a situation here, I believe, as far as the job outlook, it is a race to the bottom.
Yep. I understand that. And they aggravate it by allowing you. They allow businesses to relocate out of the country. They allow illegal aliens to come into the country and take jobs, whatever jobs are left. The net result is the American worker is being steadily impoverished. That's what's happening to a big chunk of America. It's not happening to everybody, but it's happening to a lot of people. It can only be bad news. And from my perspective, one of the principal reasons we see what's happening when plants are relocating to Mexico. Why? Because they've knocked down the damn tariff barriers that would have kept the plants in this country, kept the jobs in this country, and kept the foreign competition out. Jim was talking about the free trade zones where we allow foreign companies to come in and set up in situations where they're not regulated by government, while the rest of the American people are regulated by government. This is a clear and obvious evidence to me that the government is out to destroy this country. They're not working for your best interests, and somebody's got to do something. Who knows? Maybe Trump's the guy.
Yeah, but Trump has manufacturing. Why? Trump has manufacturing in China. Why didn't he keep his factories here?
Don't have any idea. Business is business, but it depends on whether who are you representing.
Yeah.
If you're doing right, doing what's best for your corporation, that's one thing. If you're doing what's best for your nation, that's another thing. You wear different hats, and when you're working only for your business, you do what you can for your business. When you wear a hat that is something like the president, for example, congressman, a senator, you're not supposed to do what's best for the businesses of foreign countries. You're supposed to do what's best for this country. And they are betraying that obligation. People in positions
they were lobbied by these businesses to do that so these corporations could become multinational, so they could make more money. So they were lobbied.
That. And what do we mean when
so these corporations don't get a free pass?
What do we mean when we say...
I mean, these corporations asked many, many years ago, I remember, when you have your board meetings, do you even buy... Remember, we used to always... was always, you know, where you pledged allegiance to the flag. They all gave up their rights to this country. I think of all the ones that were... That we, like Walmart, Target, you know, a lot of these big stores. I think it was Boeing. A lot of them were asked the question how they start their meetings. And it was, you know, this is 20, 25 years ago. And I think it was only Target that said, yeah, we actually do the Pledge of Allegiance before we start our corporate board meetings. But so they're just as much at fault was my point.
What do we mean when we say lobbying?
Will you tell us now?
We mean bribing people in positions of power to do things that are contrary to the best interests of the general welfare of the American people. That's what lobbying means as a practical matter.
We know that.
No, you don't. People don't pay attention to it. They understand the biggest problem we've got in this country, maybe.
I know.
Political campaign contribution laws. We allow people to bribe your congressmen and senators, and that's what they're doing. They're bribing them. They say, oh, no, it's a political campaign contribution. It doesn't influence our judgment at all. That's a bunch of nonsense. That's a bunch
I agree.
I mean, no corporation is handing out free dollars. Corporations don't do it. They get return on investment, and they're not giving money to congressmen just because they like the way they dress. Let's support the Republicans or support.
But they don't get a free pass either. What did you want to say, Jerry?
Well, I've got another one to add what Jim said, and this is a true story. This is when I was out here driving semi, and, you know, in my semi in the afternoon, I listened to Chuck Carter for the people. I was a member for a long time. I knew Chuck Carter, Telford Hotel out of Florida. But let's go back 20, 25 years ago when I was driving Subaru Isuzu, Lafayette, Indiana is a free trade zone.
Mm-hmm.
I had to go. But I was one of the first to go into that plant, and this is scary. And this was 25 years ago, Melody and Al. We went in there, and there was a guy at the gate. He said, you realize that, number one, he knew that we had, you know, the right to carry a sidearm. We were carrying lots of cash in those days. They said, you leave that gun in your truck. You have no constitutional right. Indiana does not own this property. This is a free trade zone. And I told the guy, and I said, well, you know what? I got enough seniority, and I can guarantee you, sir, this is the last time I will be in this plant. This is treason against the taxpayers of Indiana. And Melody, this is a true story. This was 2025. This is, you can check it out. Subaru Isuzu, it's a free trade zone in Lafayette, Indiana, and you have no constitutional right. And if you say anything about it, you know, they're going to go to the union, they're going to, you know, all this, they're going to try to remove you. I said, well, I'm not going to say anything about it, but I'm not coming back. This is ridiculous. And
it's not only that, it's 25 years ago, which means the problems we're facing are not new. They've been working against us. People in positions of power have been working against us for at least 25 years.
Well, a lot longer than that.
I understand that, but this is evidence that at least 25 years. They are well established, and they have not been objected to by either the Republican leadership or the Democrat leadership.
Or the people.
Well, people don't know what's going on. All they know is what time Dancing with the Stars
well, that's
is coming on.
Part of the problem.
Yep.
Well, you know, if I can take it one step further, I'm not the sharpest knife in a drawer, but I have eyes to see and I have ears to hear. And I'm here to tell you that just like, you know, just like Al just said, this is by design. This is encouraged
absolutely
in our country today.
Well, what
but it's been by design for a very long time.
Oh, I understand.
You know, I was reading articles a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't keep them, and I should have, and I was reading, I don't know, comments from old newspapers. I'm talking back in, you know, the 40s. They were talking about the New World Order back then. Everybody relates to George, to Bush, the first time he said the New World Order. It was like the first time they were talking about a New World Order for a very long time. Very long time.
Yes.
Prior to him.
Absolutely.
Yep.
But prior to him, everybody dismissed it as a conspiracy theory. But when Bush finally said it, then people said, oh,
no,
this is a conspiracy theory. This is real.
So it does go back a very long time.
Yeah. I published a magazine for 12 years, and one of the things I began to learn, it dealt with legal issues. And one of the things I began to learn, I was about 2 years into the publication, and I began to sense it. I didn't understand it, but I began to sense that there had been forces working against this country literally from its inception. Right? It's not even 25 years or 50 years. It's been going on for 200 years. They've been trying to take us down. And
yes.
I couldn't understand why at the time. I've come to understand. I've come to believe I understand why. This is evidence of spiritual warfare. This country started with a principle that had been unseen in world history since at least the time of the Old Testament. And that was when, in the Old Testament, the Jews regarded themselves as directly under, the Hebrews regarded themselves as directly under God, and they didn't have any kings. They didn't have a sovereign over them. This country started, since then, everything else, they've had kings or aristocrats or whatever, but the people have never been at the top. This country started with the idea that all men are created equal, endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. And with that, they established that we were each individual sovereigns. And the government was here to serve all of us, not to oppress us, not to be our masters, but to be our servants. Government wanted no part of it. They did not want that spiritual principle, which had been virtually unseen. Everything up until then had been monarchs ran the country. One man was king. All the people were subjects. This country reversed that and said all the people are kings and only the government are the subjects, if anyone is. And they really said in Chisholm versus Georgia, they said that we have no subject. We are a nation of sovereigns without subjects. It is a spiritual thing because that sovereignty flows from God. And the government has been working against it all along. Government wants to rule. It does not want to serve. And it's taken them 200 years to get where they are, but I don't know. It's been going on for a long time, though. It's not exactly news, but it's finally coming out in the open where you can see it if you care to look. You got anything else for us, Jerry?
Well, and I just wanted to thank Melody and yourself for this program, because it's a platform to me when something comes up to voice, on the air. Maybe somebody else is listening or whatever, and then all your good advice. I just appreciate this program because it gives a small guy like me a place to vent and to bring up what's going on, and I can't thank you enough for it.
Well, thank you, Jerry. We appreciate the compliment.
You're welcome, Jerry.
And we appreciate,
thank you.
Glad you're listening to the program.
You know, Jerry, you know, over all these years, it never ceases to amaze me. We do these. Sometimes we wonder, you know, who's listening? You know, we want to know. And we know these are broadcasts all around the world through shortwave and the various areas across the country and different locales and so forth. And it just always, it just humbles me when someone calls and says, you know, I've been listening to you for years. You know, been listening to your programs with you and Al, with you and Bob, you know, prior to my partner, prior to Bob. And we appreciate you. And so thank you for listening and giving us your feedback. But and sometimes, you know, we don't say thank you. To all the listeners out there for tuning in to us on a daily basis and supporting Discount Gold and Silver. These programs would not be possible. We don't run advertisements to pay for these programs. Discount Gold and Silver pays for these programs. And we go back, I believe, in re-educating. And Bob used to always say, you have to give back. And I think by having an outlet for folks, it's all about giving back. So thank you all for listening and for the support of Discount Gold and Silver.
All right, Jerry, thank you for your phone call. And Melody, we have 30 seconds left.
Now, for your support of Discount Gold and Silver, we got some great prices for gold and silver. And yes, we did have a big pullback. I think what we're going to see is I really would like to see it settle here around 1200. And with the markets being just kind of strange last week, with China being closed for a week, the huge drops we've seen in Japan, I think our markets are basically just taking a breather, and I think things are going to pick up again. So make sure you give us a call. We always got specials on our coins, 800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for the weekly newsletter, and you can listen to these programs live or archived. So,
okay, folks, we're out of time. Thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. Hope you tune in at that point. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.